You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Royals podcast. Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Royals reporter, Jeffrey Flanagan. And this offseason, Jeffrey, has been so slow that the signings continue to kind of catch up. And the Royals have been a little busy over the last week. Since we last spoke, first they signed Lucas Duda. And then today, as we record this on Tuesday, John Jay gets a one-year deal, $3 million guaranteed. We'll get to Duda in a minute, but I wanted to start with Jay. How does he fit into this mix? Does he have a chance to be a starter in that outfield?
I don't think he's necessarily going to be an everyday starter, but he's certainly going to be in the mix and play a lot. You know, when we started camp, they were really without Haas and Moose and some other players. They didn't have many left-handed bats, and now we're up to our elbows in left-handed bats. It seems we've got Michael Saunders and Tyler Collins and Duda, you mentioned. So they certainly covered that side of the play, but I think he's going to be kind of a mix in the outfield, which we'll have Soler and Gordon and Bonifacio and maybe Paulo Orlando. He'll get some time. He's a pretty good defender. Also, he could DH. They've talked for years about having a floating DH, and I think they never have actually done that. But this year, I think finally they will do that. You'll see Soler there, you'll see Jay there, and maybe Jay in left, Gordon in center. There'll be a lot of different combinations. So he's going to play a lot. He's going to get some ABs, and especially against right-handed hitters. So I think it's a pretty good pickup, low cost. $3 million is not a lot of money by today's standards. A one-year deal is not going to block any of their young outfielders. So a pretty good pickup, and you're right, this late in camp, we're seeing more and more of these signings trickle in. And selfishly, hey, it gives us something to write about and talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a guy also that spent a lot of years, obviously, in the Cardinals organization. He's been with the Cubs. And by all accounts, a great clubhouse guy as well. And a guy that, yeah, I think as he's getting later in his career has become a leadership guy.
Yeah, Ned brought that up today too. He's like an 80 clubhouse guy, so the highest rate you can get. So, you know, they don't hesitate to pick up guys like that to build the chemistry in the clubhouse. And from what I've heard, he certainly fits the bill there. And you're right, he's played in the Midwest before with the Cubs last year, many years with the Cardinals. So he's familiar with the Midwest. He's very excited to put on a Royals uniform.
Last week, we talked a lot about Hunter Dozier and how he looked good around first base and was doing a nice job, and maybe he would be the guy there at first base. And then I think the next day after we recorded the podcast, they signed Lucas Duda. So he gets $2.5 million guaranteed, similar to the John Jay deal. I think Royals fans' best memories of Duda are great for them and not great for him. Obviously, the Hosmer run and the World Series and the clincher and Duda's throw was off the mark. That said, he's a guy that can hit a lot of home runs, and he should be a pretty good fit for the Royals this season.
Yeah, and he's really kind of tired of talking about that throw.
I'm
and
sure.
He knew that would come up the very first day, and he was pretty good about it, but he was a little bit short with it. He wants to move on. That was 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago. Now we're going on 3 years. So, now he brings a nice veteran left-handed bat to the lineup and a guy that, you know, despite that throw, is not a bad defender. And they really needed somebody with some experience at first base. I mean, Hunter Dozier has looked good this spring, like you mentioned, but, you know, he has less than 10 games under his belt at first base at any level. So they needed a guy they could count on who could catch the ball over there and perform all the things you have to do at first base. So, again, just like the Jay deal, you know, not expensive, not blocking anybody. This way Dozier can go down to AAA and do what they want him to do, which is play some first base, obviously, get better there, but also play some corner outfield or play some third base. So it allows him another year of developing because last year injuries ravaged his season. He only played like 34 or 35 games. So he'll get a full season under his belt and at AAA. And meanwhile, Lucas Duda can, you know, come up here and catch the ball, which they really want at that position.
Ned Yost obviously had a terrible offseason, the really tragic almost offseason, but he's back. This is the final year of his contract, and it sounds like he's really embracing, despite the fact that he's managed this team obviously into the postseason to a World Series title, now that things have changed as far as direction go, he seems to very much still be on board with what the Royals are doing.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this will actually be his third rebuild. He had one with Milwaukee, and he had one with the Royals many, many years ago, and now he's involved in another one here. And I see a little more, you know, excitement in his voice, a little more enthusiasm, because there are so many camp battles going on now. We didn't have that for 4 or 5 years, where you came into camp and basically the roster was set. But this year, you know, he's going to have 6, 7, 8 roster positions possibly open. So he is embracing that. And I kind of brought that whole topic up by wondering, you know, is he going to go out beyond this year? And he won't answer that. He's got 1 year left on his deal. He's going to see how this year plays out. But I wouldn't be shocked, to be honest, if he came back for a couple more, unless this season is just a total disaster, which I don't think it will be, because I don't think the pressure is on this team to win, you know, 80, 90 games and get to the postseason. Everybody understands that this is a rebuilding year. There's going to be some pain involved, but they still want to be competitive. But more importantly, they want to get ABs for guys like Soler and Bonifacio and Cuthbert and some other guys, and just see them develop and see if they can be, you know, 100% productive MLB players.
Yeah, and some managers aren't necessarily set out to be a guy that can handle a rebuild. He has proven that he is, so why not keep him around, obviously, and let him try to do it again one more time for Ned Yost. All right, it was a fun week of spring training for the Royals because of some visitors, and every team kind of has people come in, whether it's former players, legends of the franchise, or whatnot. The Royals this week had Bo Jackson as a guest instructor, and also Rob Riggle, and they were there on the same day, which is interesting and probably a bigger thrill for Riggle than anyone else getting to be there with Bo Jackson.
Yeah, it was a total coincidence, actually. Rob and his family come in. They live in L.A., obviously, and they pack up the station wagon and drive over from L.A. every spring, and so we always expect him to see him here, and he just happened to show up the same day that Bo showed up for the first time, so that was pretty interesting. And Rob Riggle is a Shawnee Mission South graduate in Kansas City, and part of that kind of gang, that comedian gang that is all from Kansas City, including Paul Rudd, Jason Sudeikis is from KU, and they all tend to show up at least sometime during camp, so we were kind of expecting that. And we knew Bo was coming too, but yeah, that was kind of a fun day Sunday morning, just to see them kind of horse around together and seeing Bo in a uniform again. He's been doing this guest instructor stuff for the White Sox for several years, he told me, but now he was able to do it back with the Royals, and he was pretty fired up, and he said that uniform slipped on pretty good. It's just, you know, one size bigger than it used to be, so but he's still looking good. He just had some shoulder surgery and was anxious to get out and hang out with the minor league guys, and they, of course, were all in awe of him.
How much actual teaching does he do with the younger players, and how much is it just telling stories and kind of lightening things up?
I think it's mostly just telling stories. I mean, you know, he's today's kids know who he is, of course, because everybody knows Bo, but they've got their own instructions and stuff like that. I think if, you know, I haven't followed him around every single minute, but I think if some kids came up to him and asked him some advice, he'd be happy to give it, but mostly, yeah, he's just a celebrity. He said he has diplomatic immunity. He can do whatever he wants down here, so and that's what he's going to do.
And pretty much nobody has the tool set that Bo had back in his playing days, so there's
much
that he could
never
share.
Never seen it before, probably won't see it again.
As far as starting pitchers go, Ian Kennedy got his first start on Saturday. Good first inning, less good second inning, but no big deal here at this point in the spring. Jason Hamill made his debut on Sunday, 2 perfect innings. Both those guys are pretty much on track at this point.
Yeah, and they both need bounce back seasons. Jason Hamill showed at stretches last year he could be a really effective number 3, number 4 guy, but it just wasn't consistent. And he's really trying to work on that this year, and had a good first outing. And Ian Kennedy's outing I think was the best of the spring. I mean, the second inning is not going to look good, but that was a typical Arizona inning where a couple of pop flies got lost in the sun and the wind, and all of a sudden, you know, he's given up a double and a triple and a double or whatever. And but he was just, his fastball command was as good as you could expect at this point in the year. I mean, he struck out the side in the first inning. I think he had 5 Ks in 2 innings and was really overmatching first string White Sox lineup. And he was very, very happy when I talked to him afterwards.
Good stuff, and we'll hope they continue to progress towards opening day. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Royals edition. For Jeffrey Flanagan, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.